mixed up things today. Hopefully Karen will join us. I sent out the invites. I sent out the invites to some other locals too, just so we could, you know, maybe add a little bit of itch. I don't know. Karen might have a guest too, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to see what's happening here with everything. We're recording right now. And I'm going to start out the show here with, you know, one of my fave pieces that to think about. This is an old age folk song. That's the best thing one can say about it. And what we're going to do is, it's going to be Mother of Muses. And it's a Bob Dylan tune. But it suits my mood.
Mother of Muses, sing for me. Sing of the mountains and the deep dark sea. Sing of the lakes and the nymphs of the forest. Sing your hearts out, all you women of the chorus. Sing of honor and fame and glory be. Mother of Muses, sing for me. Mother of Muses, sing for my heart. Sing of a love too soon to depart. Sing of the heroes who stood alone, whose names are engraved on tablets of stone, who struggled with pain so the world could go free. Mother of Muses, sing for me. Sing of Sherman, Montgomery, and Scott, and of Zhukov and Patton and the battles they fought, who cleared the path for Presley to sing, who carved the path for Martin Luther King, who did what they did, and they went on their way. Man, I could tell their stories all day. I'm falling in love with Calliope. She don't belong to anyone, why not give her to me? She's speaking to me, speaking with her eyes. I've grown so tired of chasing lies. Mother Muses, wherever you are, I've already outlived my life by far. Mother Muses, unleash your wrath. Things I can't see, they're blocking my path. Show me your wisdom, tell me my fate. Put me upright, make me walk straight. Forge my identity from the inside out. You know what I'm talking about. Take me to the river, release your charms. Let me lay down a while in your sweet loving arms. Wake me, shake me, free me from sin. Make me invisible like the wind. got a mind to ramble, got a mind to roam. I'm traveling light and I'm a slow coming home.
I'm going to Mississippi.
I'm going to Mississippi.
I'm going back down south.
I'm going to Mississippi.
I'm going to Mississippi.
I'm going to Mississippi.
I'm going to Mississippi. Baby, if I have to hitchhike.
Yeah, well, that was my theme song for years on the radio here in West Virginia. We were headed to Mississippi, and I think we're going to get there. However, there's a certain I don't know this story I'm going to familiarize with this morning came to prominence in the New York Times, and I'm sure it's other places as well. This morning, and it's I must remove the Times from my I did, look at that, I removed it from my headline thing here. How about that? Let's see if we can bring it up this morning here on I don't want that. I want New York Times and in Mississippi, right? I gotta see. All right, so here it is. Goon squads. So a hearing, where was the hearing held? It says, let's get to that. All right, sentencing hearings. This week took place for six law enforcement officers, some of whom were members of the so-called Goon Squad. And the former deputies said they saw brutality as a way to rise in the ranks of the department that celebrated violence against people suspected of crimes. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they were prosecutors, along with several of the deputies who were sentenced, described a toxic culture in which senior officers directed the men they oversaw to humiliate and torture people suspected of crimes. Young deputies said they saw violence as a way to earn promotions and to live up to the expectations of their supervisors, who were considered heroes in the Rankin County, Mississippi Sheriff's Department. In court this week, Christian Dedman, a former narcotics detective, said that a culture of misconduct reigned at the sheriff's office and that he rose through the ranks of the department because of his willingness to do bad things. Well, there you have it. And these guys had sentencing hearings. Well, I can't say on the radio what my sentence would be, but really, it's impossible to even get there. So this humiliation, let's see what kind of crimes it actually included. We're taking a long time in the article to get to that. Oh man. Jeremy Travis Page, a local resident, told reporters last year that he was one of Mr. McAlpin. McAlpin is the one who molded these men into what they became, the prosecutor said. During a 2018 raid of his home, deputies led by Mr. McAlpin waterboarded and beat Mr. Page until his face was blackened and bloodied. Throughout the encounter, Mr. Alpin instructed deputies to carry out the attack. Hmm. So there you go. Terrorism. Why isn't that part of the terror indictment? Anyway, we'll leave that just as it stands. and of course, after witnessing secondhand, in some cases, firsthand, and the interviews we had with some people in the primary campaigns at the FL-CIO, I don't think that West Virginia is very far from this kind of abuse. I hear reports of what's been happening in the prisons, you know, and what the stress being put on prison workers, not to mention the prisoners, throughout the pandemic and since. It's just, and the indifference and fascist neglect of anything humanist amongst some of these freaks in the leadership of the Republican Party, led by, the Dunwich horror, you know, Trump himself. Anyway, so we're headed down a dark place there, dark place. Gone to Mississippi. All right, and I want to get on a lighter note a little bit. And to do that, I'm going to play a very serious song here. And it's a different kind of Mississippi. And it's called The Avalon Blues. It's by Mississippi John Hurt. And, of course, it's rendered by Bill Morrissey.
New York this morning, just about 9:30. New York this morning, just about 9:30. Avalon's my hometown, always on my mind. Avalon's my hometown, always on my mind. Pretty mamas in Avalon, they want me there all the time. When I left Avalon, throwing kisses and waving at me. When I left Avalon, they were throwing kisses, waving at me. When I left Avalon, throwing kisses and waving at me. Got to know. Hate to tell you, pretty mama, I'm leaving Avalon and I ain't coming back no more. There's one thing I can't understand. It's just one thing I can't understand. Pretty mamas in Avalon, they just want one man. Town's my hometown, always on my mind. Avalon's my hometown, always on my mind. Pretty mamas in Avalon want me there all the time.
So that was the happy side of Mississippi. Avalon, Bill Morrissey. Let's move on here on the agenda. Here it is, Friday, the 22nd of March. And there's nothing good in the news that I can see. That Mississippi story just sort of takes the cake, doesn't it? You know. I don't know what else you're going to do after you read that story. Torture, rape, murder, humiliation as the standard in the Rankin, Mississippi Sheriff's Office. Wow. But you know, you get the sheriff you deserve. President, too. You do. You know. See, people get lazy about politics. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to do anything about it. They don't even want to understand it. And guess what happens? People that do take over. So, the neglect of the public, for the public interest, leaves, you know, opportunistic individuals who may or may not have the slightest morality. I mean, they might. It depends on where they come from, what they do, and what was done to them. I'm not. Yeah, it is what it is. And but then all of a sudden, you know, eventually corruption spreads, catastrophe follows catastrophe. You can't solve any problems because everybody has to be paid off, and there's too many. People waiting to get paid, and not enough people that got enough money to pay. And you try to raise taxes to try to do something, but the people are too poor to pay any tax increases, most people. And you got a big problem. Which, you know, no amount of bullshit can move. It's got to be real. And, you know, it's like you think you go along your whole life and, you know, if you get interested in public issues, you struggle to be heard and you try to find a way to get heard and then how to get understood. That's a a bigger mountain to climb than just, you know, getting an internet station like this. but... the challenge remains, you know, how do you know, what is it that causes people to turn around and say, oh my God, everything is broken. I should play that old Bob Dylan song. And I guess we have to do something now. Everything's broken. And of course, then you get big upheavals, you know, the American Revolution. Civil War, you know, the upheaval of the 30s and the expansion of the federal government and the concept of federal rights and the Roosevelt era, in short. And but it was in the background, mass industrialization and this immense impact of modern technologies began to very quickly have its presence felt and felt deeply. And it's never stopped. So now we're facing dictatorship, basically. I'm going to call it that. But we're facing a problem with there's too much division to get anything done or to get enough done. I mean, there's things getting done, but is it enough? And yet every place you look, you know, you see the breakdowns. And and it's interesting because the breakdowns take place at the time that there's nearly full employment, at least with respect to the history of the United States. And so there's all kinds of work. The economy's in a expansionary phase, and it's, you would think that that would be the time in which people were feeling a little more optimistic, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Mainly is that even though everyone's working, and they're working harder, and they're working two or three jobs, some in many cases, to keep things together, things aren't staying together. You know, their divisions are just terrible. Rather than clean government, corrupt and dysfunctional government is spreading. Just look at the, go attend a meeting of the Jefferson County Commission and see for yourself. You know, I mean, if it was a moral standard, was anybody was standing anywhere except out in the field, yeah, they would resign, all of them. But, of course, yeah, that doesn't really happen, except in a movie someplace. But maybe we should be playing that movie a little more to, you know, get a little raise the expectations of what happens when you can't get anything. You can't approve the minutes. You know, you can't approve the agenda. You know, you get on the agenda, and half the time you're out of order, more than half. And the public watches this and just goes, huh? Well, not just huh, because government services are required. My friend and I were driving along Flowing Springs Road here in Jefferson County yesterday, and he hadn't been out that way, I guess, in a while. Not that long, I mean, 6 months maybe. And oh my Jesus, you know, he said, oh my God, they're gonna turn it into Arlington County. Meaning, you know, just tons of housing developments, but not for people who are gonna be working here in the county, I don't think, as these are DC commuter jobs, or Frederick, not here. Not these homes. Some of these homes are being built are going to run for, it looks to me like between $5 and $6.50. Well, they're not, given the wages paid in Jefferson County, they're not going to be many local workers that are going to be able to afford those homes. But it's all over. And you keep saying, well, if these people are going to have kids and everything like that, they're going to have to have a whole new school just for them, just for the development on Flowing Springs Road. And who's going to pay for that? The current teacher salaries are, what, between $10,000 and $25,000 less than the neighboring counties, the neighboring non-West Virginia counties like Virginia, Maryland, not sure about Pennsylvania. But the gap is immense. And just talked to a Jefferson County teacher, and, you know, maybe buy him or her a beer so they can get a little more talk. I'll tell you a tale that will make your ears just singe to think that that's what's going on in the public school system. Turmoil everywhere, and it's tough to think about. I'm going to read a poem. You've probably heard it before. It's by William Butler Yeats, and it talks about the second coming, of course, which is prophesied by people after Jesus died. But Yeats sees something different happening, turning and turning in the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in the sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. There you go. And reminds me of it reminds me of a time to say something good, as my good friend Bill would say. We're going to do one of his favorite songs here from Blackberry Smoke called What You Know Good.
Just follow your heart and your soul. I don't lean one way or the other. I love all of my sisters and brothers. You can read me cover to cover. All that you need to know is I don't worry, don't get in a hurry. Ain't no reason to fight if the fish don't run. You could, what you know good. Sometimes life, it strikes me funny. I catch all of my flies with honey. I don't stand on a pile of money to make myself higher than you. I give thanks for the sun and the rain. Hitch my wagon to the gravy train. This old world goes up in flames. The river's gonna flow on through. I don't worry, don't get in a hurry. Ain't no reason to fight if the fish don't bite. Don't bring me no bad news. The only thing that I ask you, one time if you could,
what you know good. You're wasting your time trying to make up my mind when I know just what is right to me. So if you don't mind, I politely decline your invitation to this negativity. If the fish don't bite, don't bring me no bad news. The only thing that I ask of you, one time if you could, what you know good. What you know.
Yeah, we're back again, and so I don't know what happened there. We did have a little blip on the recording screen. Apologize for that. Welcome back to the Winners and Losers radio program, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, this morning. And well, things are getting intense everywhere, in case you were waiting for something you know, calming to take place. I advise not listening to the news. Just wait until the tanks roll into town and then say, oh, shit, what happened? It might be the best tack, actually. you know, live in a little bubble until, you know, they come in and take it away. Well, that may be our choice. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll, you know, have a gathering of light, as they say. Anyway, that's our program for today, because it is now 8 o'clock. We've been on the half hour, and we'll be back next week. I think we're going to have Gene Brushkin talking about his new play related to John Brown. And Karen will be out of Hawk and maybe in a different place that has internet access. She's stuck in some house taking care of dogs that doesn't have any, no internet or phone where she's at. So unfortunately, she was unable to connect in this morning. We'll be back, however. Take care of each other. It's late.